A critical assessment of virtual mental health care in rural Nova Scotia was released on August 1st by the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives Nova Scotia. The article was written by Robin Lazon and looks at the barriers that rural communities in Nova Scotia are facing due to the switch to virtual mental health care since the start of the pandemic. The article's findings show that although some saw increased help due to the virtual mental health care, many became more isolated, which added to mental health struggles. CKDU spoke with Lazon on their assessment of virtual mental health care and the recommendations they have made to address the deficits in rural care.
So this is pulled from a larger research project. So I just graduated doing my undergraduate degree at Acadia, Bachelor of Arts in Political Science. So this is sort of a brief of that larger project. So my research questions were asking, like, how has mental health care policy shifted in response to the pandemic? And then whether new changes, and specifically looking at virtual care, whether new virtual care policies have responded to rural Nova Scotians' needs. So in the brief, I'm kind of looking at how the sort of the rural barriers that exist in Nova Scotia for people trying to access mental health care, and then how virtual care has sort of responded, whether it has improved or exacerbated those barriers, and sort of the benefits and drawbacks. And then there's also some policy recommendations at the end based on my interviews with mental health care practitioners, based on their sort of thoughts and recommendations.
What are some of the services that are provided through this virtual mental health care option?
Yeah, so virtual care is kind of a broad umbrella term. So it includes both one-to-one therapy, like between a practitioner and a patient, whether it be virtually over Zoom, via phone, but it also refers to things like online apps that offer coping mechanisms, or YouTube videos for mental health tools and skills. The Nova Scotia government, through the Mental Health and Addictions Program, they have a whole online suite of different apps and websites and resources for people. So virtual care is really that broad umbrella of mental health care that is provided virtually rather than in person.
And what barriers, I know you talked about that some of the barriers that worsened due to virtual care across the province, like sort of that isolation. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. So I think looking at my research, and this is something that a lot of great researchers have looked into and practitioners, but rural people across the country, and specifically in Nova Scotia, experience some barriers in terms of accessing care, whether that be access to practitioners within their community. And even if there are available practitioners, it's also access to specialists or members of like diverse groups that are in communities that are similar and have shared lived experiences. So access is one. Location, I think, in terms of transportation, driving to and from appointments, internet accessibility is also a major issue and barrier for a lot of rural Nova Scotians. And then there's also some more of those like societal barriers, including isolation. Social isolation in rural communities is a big issue. And then also the stigma that exists in a lot of rural communities. So those are some sort of pre-existing barriers that have been around before the pandemic, but were things that we had to grapple with during the pandemic. And in terms of how virtual care has sort of benefited and exacerbated those, I mean, there are some major benefits, like in terms of, the opportunity to reach out and receive care from clinicians who may not live in your area. That's huge. Being able to reach out to specialists online, not having to drive back and forth to appointments. And for a lot of people, virtual care is more comfortable. Like it may have, there's increased anonymity, and people who may not be comfortable in a clinical environment, they can receive care virtually. But there's also a lot of major barriers and sort of drawbacks for rural people specifically. So I think one of the largest things that I heard from a lot of practitioners was just internet accessibility has been just a major issue, because if you can't get on the internet, if you're not comfortable using the internet, virtual care is really not a solution that at this time is going to work for you. There's also sort of isolation. It further removes people from sort of clinical environments. So if you really respond well to going in and seeing your practitioner face-to-face and holding a space with someone, having to shift over to virtual care during the pandemic can have a really isolating experience. And a lot of virtual care, I mean, not practitioners so much, but apps and websites, they're very general. So they might not get right at those unique barriers and issues in rural contexts that people need help with.
Right. So what would be an alternative? Like, I know you said there was some recommendations.
So a lot of the practitioners that I spoke with said that they, moving forward, are going to try to adopt a hybrid model. A lot of people said, yeah, I really respect and I acknowledge these benefits that have come from having the option to do things online, but having the option to also meet with someone in person, especially a lot of what I heard was during initial appointments, when you're first getting to know that person, or when you're trying to diagnose someone or figure out what aspects of their life are affecting them, or picking up on physical cues, having the option to meet with someone and get to know them in person and do sort of hybrid appointments is wonderful. I think another big thing that a lot of people said was just to like establish new provincial initiatives so that people learn about what is available. Like, there's a lot of tools online that even the practitioners themselves might not be familiar with, so they can't refer people to them if you don't know that they're there, right? So getting publicity, teaching people what's available. Rural areas have larger elderly populations as well in Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. So having someone to show people what's sort of available and what they can access themselves would be very beneficial. And I think one last thing would be moving forward when designing new virtual policies to sort of include the feedback and collaborate with rural practitioners, like create space for policy feedback, because virtual care has really been accelerated during the pandemic, obviously, because things were shut down. So you have to shift online. It's just kind of something that had to happen and was needed at the time. But I think now's the time for some reflection and to collaborate with rural people and rural practitioners to know, okay, in context, how does this work and how might we change this or adapt it or get right at those barriers that rural people themselves experience and sort of adopt virtual care to fit for them.
Did the like disconnect or like that isolation exacerbate any like illnesses or mental health concerns for people that you maybe spoke to in this process, like maybe someone grappling with addiction or
anything? Yeah, so that was something I talked about with a lot of the practitioners, was how mental health was affected by the pandemic, because obviously they had been working, most people had been working completely through the pandemic. They had to shift all their practice, and they sort of picked up on those cues from people. They saw how the pandemic and how social isolation really affected people. So there was definitely a lot of people that were saying that, there was a lot more people reaching out to them for care. A lot of people, either issues that they already had were worsened or new people were trying to come and access care. And I think in our current mental health care system and healthcare system more broadly, that has been a real strain, is people who have come out of the pandemic with these issues that they need help with, or with things that skills that they want to develop, like coping mechanisms. There's people that are reaching out now more than before. A lot of people said that there was a huge increase in demand during the pandemic. And some people said that also they had patients who maybe just didn't want to keep continuing with care if it was a virtual format. So there were some people that stopped treatment because they had to switch out. Their only option was to do it virtually. They said, no, I would rather wait and resume when we're in person. Or they sort of cut back on the amount of appointments because it wasn't working as well for them. So I think that not only the pandemic, but also the shift to virtual care has impacted the isolation that people across the province, but especially in rural communities, feel. Like if you're living in a rural area and you don't have that same community around you, it can even heighten that experience.